Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
With those guys played in college and all the awards that they've got, they know toughness and they know how.
Doesn't mean they can communicate it. Just because a guy's a good player doesn't mean he's going to be. You know, here's what you're not going to do. You're not going to talk over me on my own show. Goodbye. That's what we're not going to do. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you have a live and take, but you're not going to talk me down on my own show. That is not going to happen now nor ever. So if you want to have a back and forth, have a back and forth. If you're going to try to talk over me, you're going to lose that battle every time. I'm undefeated on that, all right? You think it's a tough home court advantage at Cameron Indoor? It's tougher here.
All right, welcome back to the show. What a great sound that is. I'm undefeated in that. Thank you, Drew Diener. It's ESPN 680-105.7 at the Roundtable. James Strebel, Max Godby, James Black as well. We have Tobias Bass on the line. We'll get to him in just a moment. Just want to say thanks to George and the Beer Nose team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios, celebrating 46 years in Louisville. Yeah, it's that good. Beer Nose pizza, delicious. I'm munching on some right now. Let's go ahead and bring them in. It's been a while, but our good friend Tobias Bass, he writes for The Athletic. He's a portal expert. His latest article on The Athletic right now, Michigan, Kansas, among early winners of college basketball transfer portal. Tobias, my friend, how you doing, sir? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Doing good. Thanks for sending me the article and reaching out. I appreciate it. I read it, and obviously, I'm going to encourage our listeners. I'm going to read anything, but encourage them to go sign up for The Athletic. Athletic is wonderful. They got a lot of good stuff. If you're a Kentucky fan, Kyle Tucker does some really good stuff there. But you have listed your early portal winners, among them Indiana, Kansas, UCLA, and obviously matters to the folks around here. You have Louisville as one of those early portal winners, and since you wrote your article, Tobias, they've added a few more to the table. Chucky Hepburn joined the team yesterday, and Trey Orr joined them as well, the Long Beach State big. So go ahead and just let us know, Tobias, what's your read on Pat Kelsey so far early in his tenure at Louisville, and how in the world is he getting all these guys to commit? It's his first time at a D1 job, but, man, he's knocking it out of the park.
I mean, I like Kelsey a lot. I think that what he's done, the biggest thing besides getting these good players, is he's changed the energy. You know, the energy around the program the last couple of years has kind of been a Debbie Downer, but he's completely changed it around. I think that he's bringing, you know, the hope and the positivity back to the city of Louisville, back to the school. So I think he's done a great job with that so far, even how he's doing it on social media with all the gifts, all this, all fun, you know. But to the players, I mean, he's bringing in some really, really good players. Terrence Edwards, Sunbelt Player of the Year. He was able to bring over a couple of players from his team from last year. Corin Johnson, sixth another year in the Pac-12. Traore from Long Beach State is a really, really good player. Hadley from Colorado. So I love all these guys that he's bringing in. And I think that the most important thing is that they fit. They all fit together, and I think they should have a good season this year.
Chucky Hepburn was the big one yesterday. How does Chucky Hepburn fit into what Pat Kelsey wants to do in terms of point guards? How did you view him compared to the other point guards that were in the portal?
I thought that he was one of the better point guards in the portal. I know that his stats kind of took a slight dip this year, but that dude's really good. The year before, he averaged, 12 points, shot 40% from three. So I believe he'll get back to those numbers. I really like what he can bring to the table. He's good size. He really, really can score. And they want to play at a good pace, so I think that he'll be able to help them do that.
Tobias Bass with us from The Athletic. Go check him out at athletic.com. He's got all your answers and breakdowns of schools and portal players as well. So you released the teams that have been doing well and winning early in the portal. What are some teams maybe that – you're looking at or watching and you're saying, okay, you got to get to it. You got to start doing more. I think obviously Kentucky with Mark Pope, they have a lot of work to do out there. He's reached out to 40 portal players. I want to get to them here in a minute, but overall, is there anybody out there that you're like, okay, you need to start getting going here before this portal thing gets out of control and you're not left with anybody?
Yeah, they're definitely one. I mean, the hill that they had to climb was kind of crazy. They lost. Like, there is no team, you know what I mean?
Right.
They have to bring in a bunch of players. Another school, too, is my own. I'm a Texas Tech alum. They brought in two players, Fred Rico from Pittsburgh, and they brought in a guy, the guard from Drake. I'd like to see them get a couple more. I know they're hosting a couple of visits this weekend. I do want to see them be able to bring in a couple more players because they also need, I think, like five or six players. So I know that they'll get it done, but I'm just waiting to see what they do. They have a big visit coming up this weekend. Elijah Hawkins will be there. They also have a NAIA All-American, Javon Buchanan, will also be there this weekend. So I'm excited to see if they can maybe land a couple of those guys. And then Oklahoma, I mean, poor OU.
Oh, man.
I mean, they thought they were going to get Aaron Scott. He goes elsewhere. They thought they were going to get Padula. He goes elsewhere. So, you know, that's a tough week for those guys.
Now, also, Tobias, Mark Pope is going to have a big recruiting weekend this weekend. Andre Stojakovic is going to be visiting along with others. And another one, you mentioned Oklahoma. Otega Owe, he's been visiting since yesterday. I don't know if that visit's over, but 6'5", 215-pound combo guard out of New Jersey. He's on campus. Also, I just mentioned Stojakovic, Andrew Carr, great Osabor, supposed to visit next week. Out of those guys that I just read to you, Tobias, who's going to have an immediate impact if they were able to commit to Kentucky?
Probably be great offensive boy. That dude's really good. He won player of the year in this league. I just really like what he brings to the table. And I guess this is breaking news too. But Lamont Butler's about to commit to Kentucky.
Oh, really? That's the guy from San Diego State, correct?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
okay.
I was about to bring it up, but the staff was out there this morning to go see him. I was going to bring that up, but I guess they beat me to it. But yeah, he just committed to Kentucky.
Oh, that's okay. So that's okay. On paper, that seems like a good get. Can you explain his game to us, Tobias? Lamont Butler. I mean, we know San Diego State in the championship game 2 years ago. That's been a good, sustained program. What's he going to bring to the table? He's a guard for Mark Pope in Kentucky. That's a good one.
So for him, I mean, I think with him, it's just being steady. He's been good his whole career. He followed all the 4 years he was in at San Diego State. He was a really good, solid player. People remember he was a guy that made the game-winning shot to send them to the national championship game over FAU. It was a crazy shot. That was him. So I think that he's a good fit in there. And Pope, he likes stability. He's had good point guards in the past. They don't turn the ball over. He's steady. He defends. He can make wide open shots when asked to do. He's going to be able to do that in Lexington.
I love it. I love it. Tobias Bass with us. All right, so they have until Wednesday, May 1st, to enter the portal, and then they have until May 29th to commit. Do you expect a portal influx? I know Norchad Chamier, he went into the portal yesterday from Miami. Wuga Poplar, another Miami player, they entered the portal. I mean, those are two big names. How many other big names should we expect to enter into the portal in the coming days before it shuts down on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think that you may see a couple of more decent-sized names, maybe a couple of more all-conference players. I think they're really trying to find out, you know, what their money situation looks like, who's going to be playing there with them. But I think you could see an influx of guys. Maybe even this weekend they start making their decisions because time's running out. And, you know, some of these decisions probably will be rushed because some of them may have the option, you know what, I'm going to get in just to be safe, but I always can go back. So I think that they're going to try to look at that as well.
Who right now is, in your estimation, Tobias, who is the number one player left in the portal right now? Who's the best? You mentioned Great Olsebor as someone that's really, really good. Who else out there that you have your eye on that hasn't committed, that's some of the best of the best?
Some of the best of the best. I know he probably wouldn't be my number one guy, but he's definitely high on my list. Would definitely be Pop Isaac from Texas Tech. I might be kind of a little biased there, but I think that kid really, really can score. He's one of the toughest kids I've ever been around. I'm a big fan of his game. I know that he's considering BYU, Ole Miss, St. John's, Texas A&M, and another school, but he's definitely one of those ones out there. Great offer for us, another one, because there's just not that many good four or fives out there left. There just simply isn't that many. So if you're a big man, you have to be out there. John O. Davis is another one. Kadari Richmond, Aiden Mahaney, he was on the visit today, I believe, at UConn. So
yeah, he's supposed to come to Kentucky at some point, maybe this weekend. I believe Aiden Mahaney's going to be at Kentucky, but we'll see if he makes it there.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. He's been getting in and out. You know, he's taking all the visits so far. He's kind of there, only been there a day, but, you know, he's been going to all of them, so hopefully he gets down there.
Absolutely. All right, last one for you. Amari Williams, he committed to Kentucky earlier this week. What do you expect out of him? The Drexel transfer, three-time defensive player of the year. What's he going to bring to Mark Pope in Kentucky, and what can fans expect from Amari Williams?
I mean, you just said it. Biggest thing is defense. He was the only player in CAA history to ever win Defensive Player of the Year three times. No one's ever done it. So that tells you right there what his approach looks like. And in a league where teams typically put so much pressure on opposing defenses, mm-hmm. I think he'll be able to be an excellent shot blocker and rim protector.
Absolutely. Well, Tobias Harris, man, appreciate it. Whenever we get some more portal movement, I'll be reaching out again. Have you back on the show once Kentucky gets some more guys on their roster, as well as Louisville. Thank you so much. Anything coming up on The Athletic we need to be on the lookout for from you?
So the portal closes Wednesday. I'll probably have another story like you read the other day. I'll probably have another one coming out maybe the day of or the day after, just about more things that I'm hearing. And we'll probably see a couple commits this weekend, so just be expecting to see some of those things on my social.
All right, we'll be following you, Tobias. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Tobias Bass, The Athletic, giving us a portal rundown. We got one, Max. We got a commitment. Oh, boy, let's go. All right. Yay, they got one. All right, so Lamont Butler.
If he ain't a mid-major, though, I don't care.
Well, San Diego State. So that's kind of, I mean, they just played the national championship game 2 years ago, and he hit the, hello, Tanner.
Hello, yeah.
How are you?
James taking a break. I'm doing good. He's a baller, though. I got to see him play here when the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight.
Oh, right.
Kid was
Tanner
a baller.
Watched the film.
He did. Tanner has watched the film.
Yeah.
And in person.
Quite literally, yes. Yeah. No, but he's really good. I'm not going to lie. I was like, dang.
All yeah, right. He hit the, like you said, he hit the game winner against FAU to get him to the national championship. So, I mean, this year he averaged 27.6 minutes per game, played in 37 games. Three-point percentage, not great, 30%, but free throw, 59% from the field, 42%. Averaged 9.3 points per game, 2.6 rebounds, and 3 assists. So, it's good to get players, good to get somebody. How about that? Texter, you talk about falling up. Lamont Butler can't shoot a lick. 40% from the field. Here come the Louisville fans. He's terrible. He sucks. He's got very similar numbers to Chucky Hepburn. So I want y'all to settle down a little bit like that. Texter Big Rig just called him Tobias Harris. LOL. That's my fault. It's Tobias Bass. It's my fault. I apologize. Texter, not to be that guy, but the horse does go before the cart, I think. Texter, Round Daddy just called him Tobias Harris. LMAO. I'm sorry. I apologize, Tobias Bass. But I had a lot going on. So one off the board. Now Kentucky has another player. Hopefully they'll get some more commitments over the weekend. So that must have been who they were going to fly to see today when they went to Las Vegas. They did fly out of Sellersburg to Las Vegas.
With exceptional leg room, too.
Exceptional leg room. Yes.
I've never seen it before by a coaching staff.
Yes, Alvin Brooks with the leg room with the leg room picture. So very good stuff there. Man, all right. I can breathe a little better now, Max. I'm a little calmer now. My Pulp shirt feels better on my body. Like, I'm feeling good now. I'm feeling much better.
I'm glad for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Glad. I was very alert. I was sweating. I came in negative today. There's a lot more needs to be done. This ain't the end all be all, but that's good.
You look a lot like, in that Pope shirt, what Calipari looks like in his Arkansas gear every time he's on camera. You look like you're held hostage.
No, I'm not being held hostage. I'm trying. Tiger Poverty Pope strikes again. Again, I'm sorry we couldn't get Chucky Hepburn. Again, very similar numbers, okay? Texter, I hate that UK got to commit. I much prefer the angry on edge round dude. Everybody does. Everybody would rather hear me yell and scream and be nervous and sad all the time. I get it. It makes for great radio. Also, a texter pointed this out, and this is being pointed out on Twitter too. The offense of the guy isn't like mind blowing, but it seems like he's focusing on defense right now with Amari Williams as a defensive specialist. This guy supposedly is a lockdown defender, kind of opposite of some of the players that we thought we'd be getting with the run and gun style that he ran at BYU, layups and threes. Very, very interesting moves for him to get some defensive guys. Uh-oh, is there more breaking news?
Oh, no, I was just late. I know Tanner didn't hit it.
Oh. I was like, did Pope get another one? James? What are you trying to do to me? My heart skipped a beat. I was like, who's it this time? Let's go.
Did Tanner hit it, though?
No.
No.
I didn't think Tanner watched the film. Don't worry, though. He saw him in the Sweet 16. He was regaling us with his stories of Lamont Butler in the Sweet 16. Sorry, Max. Continue. I apologize.
I don't remember.
About how Mark Pope seems to be focusing on defense early on with some of these.
You
commits.
Were talking about it. I wasn't talking about anything on it.
I know, but I wanted you to respond to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. I was like, I did. Have
yeah, one. Yeah, because I thought I was setting it up for your thoughts.
Okay, sorry. Dang it, James. You really.
There's a lot going on. I know.
Sorry, I should have been here the whole time. Sorry.
Not that you should have been here the whole time. Just don't hit us with the breaking news and go, no breaking news.
It's okay.
I got you. I need to be on time next time.
That's right.
I mean, defense is good. We saw what happens when you don't have defense.
Yeah, exactly. This year, exactly. This is the year we saw when we don't have defense, and you had the best talent you've had in a long time, and completely falls on your face. Oh, I got a guy named Matty Fatty laughing at my picture, James. How about that?
Matty
Fatty on Twitter. Thank you, Matty Fatty. It's LeBron James laughing. Is that LeBron? Yeah, it is LeBron James. Thank you, Matty Fatty at Dolman84. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right, let's do some text. Let's see how the fans and the listeners are taking this. Texter, Butler like Hepburn numbers are lower than they will be because of the offense they played in. I like that thought. I like that thought. Texter, did Tanner hit it? Save that. Absolutely. Texter, I'm a UK fan, but if Lamont Butler sues you, things are worse than I thought. It's not that he sues me because it's Lamont Butler. I'm soothed because I know that Mark Pope and his staff are out there working and getting a player to commit, and he was a player that was, you know, high on a lot of people's lists as far as when he hit the transfer portal. Texter, that is now two defensive conference players of the years on the roster. That's exactly what I'm saying. Definitely feels like Mark Pope's trending towards defense. And also, so Kyle Tucker also tweeted this out. Kyle Tucker's been a busy man. He I feel like he and Matt Jones and some others are jockeying for position to have the get into Mark Pope's good graces, which, heck, if you can do it, do it. But he had this to say about Aiden Mahaney. Okay, let's see here. Because Aiden Mahaney was just at UConn, and now I can't find it. That's okay. But he was basically saying that Mark Pope, it's going to be hard to get Aiden Mahaney to pry away from UConn. Oh, here it is. Okay. Hard to bet against UConn, but he's still visiting Kentucky this weekend. And worth noting, Pope can't afford to waste visits. I think they only have 9 or 10 left per NCAA rules. They're not hosting guys they don't think they have a real shot with. Okay. So that's coming from Kyle Tucker. And he also says this about Lamont Butler. Let's see here. He's arguing with UConn people. That's always good to do. All right, here he is about Lamont Butler. Lamont Butler would be a very nice addition for Kentucky, and if the whole staff suddenly flies to Vegas to see him seem serious, started 102 games at San Diego State, was 2023 All-Mountain West, 2024 Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year, and hit a game winner in the Final Four. So, again, it's not the end-all, be-all. It's not something that I feel like it's done for Mark Pope. There's going to be more, but it's good to see things trending in the right direction. So there, Hepburn's still better. Thank you very much. Thank you for clapping, James. I appreciate that.
Don't tell the listeners that.
I'm sorry.
Let me make up for it.
L's up. There you go. Well, I'm not saying you're clapping for Kentucky. You're just clapping for the fact that I'm
you got a fourth player. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not
show with three players.
I'm not losing my mind now. I think that's what that I'll take that as what you're clapping for. James isn't clapping for Kentucky. I promise. Louisville fans, don't come at James. He's not clapping for Kentucky. So there we go. All right. Good stuff there, man. Breath of fresh air. Even Jeff Goodbum is doing it. He's out there tweeting, James, he likes Kentucky now because Cal's not there.
Good.
No, I don't want him to like Kentucky. No, right. He spent all this time hating on it.
So I said good.
Stay away, Goodbum.
I want you to start tweeting at him again.
Don't worry, I will at some point. You know that's going to happen. Speaking of Calipari, he did get both Boogie Fland and Billy Richmond to commit to Arkansas.
He's a gatherer.
He's gathering that talent back, Max. He's gathering that talent back. He's getting his guys, which I figured Matt McGavick asked if that was Voldemort on my shirt.
good one.
No, you can't say his name.
So every single time UK gets a guy in the portal and gets a commitment, instead of like, you know how football, they've got the Yahtzee. Every single time Pope gets something, does he just go,
I'm looking over!
But you remember what Chris Mack used to do? The Carlton and
oh, he did the Carlton. He did the Carlton. Dancing Carlton
the
gift.
The eyes and the Carlton.
What's cooler, Carlton or Voldemort?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, there's no third option.
Max, Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Voldemort?
I don't know. The Voldemort thing, the Voldemort memes always crack me up.
They are good, yes. Yes. He's a bad guy and he's evil, but I kind of like Voldemort. I kind of felt sorry for him.
Yes. I don't think that was the point of the books.
He's misunderstood.
Vader was misunderstood.
Exactly. So was Voldemort. He's just Tom Riddle. He's just a student going to Hogwarts.
Dude could beat up a bunch of dorks at a high school.
And of course not. That's why he turned.
He'd
be picked on. Exactly. No, well. He blew up the school, kind of, but in the end, he lost his Harry Potter head. You know, he was reborn. He was risen again. A lot of Christian overtones in Hogwarts and in Harry Potter.
There's some overtones in that book.
There's a lot of overtones in that book. A lot of magic and other things. remember that whole thing where the Harry Potter books were being released and people were like, don't read them, they'll make you worship the devil. That was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And then they told you to go watch Drake and Josh. I'm sorry. Is that too soon?
No, there's a lot of worse stuff going on there. Well, I read Kellen all the Harry Potter books when he was younger, and he turned out just fine. He doesn't worship the devil or anything like that. He's okay. He's still going to church and everything. So the magic spell that J.K. Rowling was trying to weave on him didn't work.
It's still Lord of the Rings is so much better.
No, it is. I agree. So I'm okay. Like, Harry Potter is okay to me. It's fine. I like the books. I do not like the movies.
Really?
I don't like the movies. I just, there's something about them I just don't like. I don't know. I think it's because they're on all the time. Like, they're on too much. And my wife watches them every time they're on.
So it's not as much as the quality of them. It's just, they're just on too much.
They're on too much. And then, like, the only one that I really, really liked, was the, was Deathly Hallows Part 2 and Prisoner of Azkaban. Those are my favorite ones.
Prisoner of Azkaban was really good.
That's really good. That's a really good movie. I like that. Those are my two favorites. Deathly Hallows 2 and Prisoner of Azkaban. If there's one that could, like, if I never see it again, I'd be okay with, probably Half-Blood Prince.
See, that is such a forgettable movie.
It is. Exactly. People don't even remember it. Forget it. Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. My point exactly. There we go. Now, every time Max is on, we have to have a nerd moment together. That was our nerd moment today. Harry Potter talk. There you go. Lamont, we go from Tobias Harris and Portal, Lamont Butler commits, Voldemort, thank you, Matt McGavick, Harry Potter book analysis.
What you call nerdy, I just say is a well-rounded radio show.
It is a well-rounded. No, I agree with you. It is. I mean, it is nerdy, but it is well-rounded radio.
Well-wounded.
Well-wounded. And later, and next week, I'm going to talk about meme magic. I can't wait for that on Wednesday.
Oh, really?
Memetics. I learned about memetics today.
I know it's not Weird Wednesday, but I would be curious for you to ask Max the same questions you asked Jeff yesterday. The test, the survey.
Oh, I erased all of them.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I can think of them again.
Well, or, you know, I can go to the podcast. But, I mean, I'm curious because Max would probably score pretty average.
Let's do that at 5 o'clock.
All right, cool.
It's a great idea. Let's do it. If you could,
I'm looking forward to this. I don't know what you're talking
about. If you could do that.
I'll do that.
Okay, if you
we have Myron on.
Oh, yeah, Myron on. Yeah, get, and then if you don't mind, text them to me so I can.
Cool. We can go to break now after the read so we can stay on time.
All right, cool. All right, let's go to break. On the other end, we're going to get Myron Metcalf from ESPN. Hey, guys and girls, it's warm outside. It's going to get really warm this weekend. Derby's here. It's almost May. That means it's turning from spring to summertime. And when it starts getting hot and you click on that, I did it again, Tobias Harris, son of a gun. It's Tobias Bass. Damn it. Anyway, BJ Heating and Cooling, that's the place you need to go when something goes awry when it comes to your HVAC system. Call who I've used in the past. Call them. I have a factory authorized Bryant air conditioning unit on the outside of my house. Been there for 5 years. It works great. It blows out the cold air, makes my house feel wonderful. We've had it on now pretty much for about the last 3-4 weeks and not had a problem with it. And if I do have a problem with it, I'll go to BJ Heating and Cooling. I'll get a free estimate. They'll come out, check it out, see what they can do for me. I get 0% financing for 3 years with approved credit. BJ Heating and Cooling is a locally and family owned business celebrating 40 years of servicing Kentucky. Anna, call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling, BJHeatCool.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
When was the last time Cal mentioned servant leadership?
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, welcome back to the show. James Strebel, Max Godby, James Black with you today here on ESPN 680 105.7. Appreciate it. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Don't forget tonight, Louisville Baseball versus Clemson over on 93.9 The Ville. That's at 5:50 p.m. And then right after us, Inside Churchill Downs with Darren Rogers and company, 6 p.m. They'll get you ready for Derby 150. So let's go ahead and bring in our guest, Myron Metcalf from ESPN, joining us today. Myron, hello. How are you, sir?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Thank you for taking the time and jumping on with us. Now, you just heard me mention, Myron, Kentucky Derby 150 around the corner. Have you ever been to the Kentucky Derby? Are you a fan of the Kentucky Derby? What are your thoughts?
I haven't been, but definitely one of the items on my bucket list. I mean, of the Triple Crown, I've done the Belmont Stakes before, which is obviously a really exciting race, so yeah, I'd love to go to the Kentucky Derby at some point.
Now, I know you do radio with Matt Jones from KSR. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to get Matt to hook you up, man. He's big time at the Derby. You need to get him to get you some tickets, not infield tickets, like good tickets. Now, you got to pressure your guy. Say, Matt, get me at Churchill Downs. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I told him earlier this year he's got to get me there, you know, and make sure I'm in the mix, you know. I want to be there for, like, the whole week because you all party all week for that, right? Like, it starts Monday, people start having parties and stuff, right?
It started, Myron, Saturday. Last Saturday we had Thunder over Louisville. We have our big fireworks show to kick off the Derby Festival, Myron, and then it's on from there. Now, next week, you're right. I mean, no one works. Nobody works. We're even off next Friday. We shut down the city for Oaks. Like, we close schools. People don't go to work. But, yeah, we people will be drinking and smoking cigars starting Monday evening, Monday afternoon. They'll be out at the track. So we do it big here for Derby. So you got to get over here. Like you said, stay the entire week, Myron. That's the way to do it.
That's what I want to do. I want to survive the week, though. I mean, that'll be the question, you know. So maybe I can go every other day to the parties. I don't know if I can do 2 weeks straight.
Right, absolutely. Well, if you ever show up, let me know. We can meet up. Myron Metcalf with us, ESPN. So, Myron, the reason I wanted to have you on is because you contributed – to a very interesting article on ESPN.com, and I urge our listeners to go read it. And you broke down Kentucky men's and Tennessee women's basketball coaching challenges. Obviously, two of the biggest sports, in their respective men's basketball, women's basketball in college. And, you know, Tennessee faces a whole different amount of challenges on their own. Pat Summitt was so dominant there for such a long time. I mean, she was before Gino Auriemma and UConn. I mean, she was the face of women's college basketball. And Tennessee just hasn't been able to replicate that. And now you have a situation in Kentucky where John Calipari, who for 15 years dominated the landscape here, and now Mark Pope's here. And so you had some questions about Kentucky's place in college basketball. So with the exit of John Calipari, what did that do to his brand, and what did it do to the brand of Kentucky basketball?
I think a lot of it to be determined, but, you know, I will say there was a lot of strength with the two being connected. I mean, Cal being one of the top coaches in the country, connected to the biggest brand, I think, in college basketball, along with Duke. So that synergy benefited everybody. You know, now you break that up, and we're going to find out what this is in the NIL era. I mean, Cal is clearly getting top talent still. A bunch of his former recruits at Kentucky following him to Arkansas. So, I mean, I think Cal will get good players, whether it's freshmen, McDonald's All-American types, or it's guys in the transfer portal. So I think that energy will still be there for him. But it is a different thing to play with Arkansas versus playing, I think, at a place like Kentucky. Hmm. At the same time, Mark Pope has the backing of that brand and that legacy, and he also has a bunch of NIL money. But he's a new face in terms of being a guy who's among the power coaches in this sport. So I think once you get past Kentucky, the track record, the history, the support and all that, what does Mark Pope bring to the table? And I think that's what he's pitching right now. He's trying to show everybody that, hey, yes, I'm at Kentucky. Yes, a lot of people were sort of stunned by this move, but I can be one of the best in this game as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
I think it's a good point by you, Myron, especially when it comes to, you know, he has the backing of Kentucky and the NIL. One of the big questions that we had for Mark Pope, when it was announced that he was a candidate for the job, it kind of went from that Thursday when it was announced as candidacy, then it turned into, okay, he's the guy by Saturday. You know, it was that day when Scott Drew said no, they went out and apparently, you know, pitched their offer to Dan Hurley. He said no, and it was after that right to Mark Pope. I mean, there was no – I mean, the Billy Donovan stuff was out there, but I never really believed that very much. But one of the big questions with Mark Pope when he's announced is, like, we're so used to Calipari, as you mentioned, getting that top-level talent, getting the best recruits, all the McDonald's All-Americans. What is Mark Pope's reputation on the recruiting trail? So that leads to this question: how big was it to get Alvin Brooks III and Jason Hart to join his staff, two guys that it seems to be have that type of relationship locked down when it comes to high caliber recruiting?
I think it's really important. I mean, because they've recruited in the NIL era too. I mean, they've been around sort of this changing pool of talent. I mean, Alvin Brooks, obviously, what he was able to do at Baylor, helping them win a national championship. I mean, you look at Baylor in the middle of Waco, Texas,
yeah,
and the NBA talent that they recruited over the last 5 years was remarkable. And I think Jason Hart has just been experienced. I mean, a former pro, the G League Ignite experience. He's been on staff at major schools. So I think Jason Hart's a big move as well. And you know, if you're Mark Pope and you're making that jump to a Power 5 powerhouse like Kentucky, I think having an experienced guy like Mark Fox helps as well.
Yeah.
So I think the staff matters a lot, but guys are still going to play for the head coach in many situations, you know, which is what you're seeing with Cal, you know, who still has that track record and legacy that Mark Pope is trying to establish. So at the end of the day, it's, do you want to play for Mark Pope at Kentucky? And that is what I think he's continuing to sell. And it's just hard when you don't have anything on the court to prove that you can do the job yet. But I think he has the right staff around him to move forward.
Myron Metcalf with us, ESPN.com. Check him out there. He's all over the place. He's on TV. He's on the website. He's on the radio. I mean, I'm a teacher by day, Myron, and I do this in the afternoon and evenings, but you have even more jobs than I do. you're all over the place, man. So Myron, this leads to my next question. You bring this up in your article. Choosing a former player as head coach, will that help Kentucky win again? And, you know, it seems to be a trend now. It's worked out for some places, but not for others. I mean, you look at John Shire at Duke, seems to be working out pretty well for them. Hubert Davis at North Carolina, obviously, he's doing a very, very good job there. You know, already been in the national championship game, made it to the Elite Eight this past season. Didn't work out for Kenny Payne, did not work out for Patrick Ewing. This seems to be a trend, but it's very hit or miss. How do you foresee Mark Pope? Do you think it's more likely that he follows the footsteps of a Hubert Davis or John Shire or a Kenny Payne, Patrick Ewing?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. Like, I think the thing with the former players is that you get sort of this automatic honeymoon that you can't get with someone who's not a former player. Because for the first couple of months, people just celebrate the memories, you know, and they celebrate somebody coming home, the prodigal son, if you will. And there's just so much energy around that. And I think that energy affects boosters and supporters and fans. And you did see that in the beginning with obviously Kenny Payne and Patrick Ewing. But then that dies off, right? And then people get to, okay, are we winning or not? Right? So I think what people miss is, yes, there's a particular part of the fan base that will go, Mark Pope, former player, I love that. And I think you're seeing all of that energy uniting the Kentucky fan base right now. But we're 2-3 months away from the question being, can he coach at this level? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And that will be superior to his ties. But I think being a former player, that will buy Mark Pope more time in the beginning. I think that will buy him more grace in the beginning. But I think that grace, that celebration, can quickly become almost more pressure. I mean, for Patrick Ewing, who I was around at the end at Georgetown, I did a piece, you know, flew out there, all of the celebratory stuff had become pressure. You know, now you go from the guy who everyone thinks can save the program, you know this program inside and out, to maybe this is the wrong guy. And to be a former player is the wrong guy is a different experience than being the wrong guy as someone who doesn't have that connection. So you got to balance that with winning. And if Mark Pope wins, it'll work in his favor, especially in this era. If he doesn't, I think that'll quickly feel like pressure going forward.
I think that's a great point because we were, you know, I'm here in Louisville, and you know, being a Kentucky fan in Louisville, you know how that goes. It's got to own, it has a life of its own. But you know, I got to see the Kenny Payne stuff up close, and I talked about it on the radio every single day, and the ebbs and flows that you just described perfectly symbolize exactly what happened with Kenny Payne. It was the elation when he was hired. He won a championship here, a beloved player. They could look past him working with John Calipari on his staff because he was a Cardinal. He was one of them. But winning 4 games his first year and then 8 games his second year, it was almost like the viciousness. And look, I'm not saying Louisville fans were wrong to be upset. That's unacceptable to win 12 games in 2 years at a place like Louisville. It was almost ramped up because Kenny Payne was a former player. And that relationship, like, I don't know if Kenny Payne ever comes back. And I don't think Louisville fans are going to be too upset if he never does. There's real hurt feelings there when it's one of your own. It can either be the best thing, or in Kenny Payne's and Patrick Ewing's place, it could be the a worst thing. Like, I don't know how they feel about Patrick Ewing still at Georgetown, but here in Louisville, Myron, I mean, Kenny Payne's name is not on the list with the greats of Louisville any longer. They're like, okay, go to Arkansas, stay there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough situation. I mean, he didn't win enough at the end of the day. I mean, but he won the press conference, right?
Right.
A lot of people celebrated those early moments, and he had a lot of former players and a lot of former, you know, supporters, if you will, who felt like, hey, they're back being a part of the program. You saw Mark Pope with the same thing. But again, that goes away over time. I'd say the difference with Mark Pope that you're already seeing, though, compared to some of those guys, is the energy. Like, Mark Pope is coming in with a level of energy that You didn't see what Kenny Payne. You didn't see what Patrick Ewing, right? You
right.
didn't see what some of those guys, Chris Mullin. So I think that's the difference. Mark Pope seems to be approaching this as, yeah, I know everybody is doubting me, maybe. You know, I know people are wondering what I'm going to do, but I'm taking all that on. Bring it, you know, because I think that is what you have to have as well. You got to show, especially in this era, that you have the energy to keep up with what's going on. I mean, I'm seeing all the stuff on Twitter. I mean, I don't know if Mark Pope's been back home since he was announced. I mean, the guy's on a plane or somewhere
always
at the airport, all the time. And that's what you need to do. I think if you're in this position, you got to show that you're obsessed with winning. But I'll say this for Mark Pope and all these guys you named. Mark Pope is not going to recruit one player who was alive when he won a national championship. You got to think about that.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, a lot of the stuff that we talk about as older guys, oh, man, the good old days. For these kids, they don't know what that is. It didn't exist to them. So I think there's a big difference between selling that legacy and connection to it to the parents of these recruits and selling that to the recruits themselves. Two different tasks.
All right, last one for you, Myron Metcalf. Appreciate the time. I can't let you go without asking, since I am in Louisville, and I do have a lot of Louisville fans that listen. What are your thoughts on Pat Kelsey thus far and what he's done in you know, just a few short weeks here in Louisville and the caliber of players that he's brought in?
I think Pat's rolling, you know? I mean, and again, what's the biggest difference between what was before and what you're seeing now? Energy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, Pat is another dude. How many hours do you think Pat is sleeping?
Not many.
He's like kind of dude who probably doesn't sleep at all. Like, if you tell me Pat Kelsey has been up since they hired him, I'd believe it. but I think that energy is what you want after coming off of the stretch under Kenny Payne. So, I mean, getting a guy like Chucky Hepburn, I think, is going to be a really incredible addition. I've been around Chucky a lot. I think he's doing all the right things, man, with the way he's grabbing talent from the portal right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's exciting times. I did not expect, Myron. I expected Louisville to be doing a job search and then doing the portal thing with their new coach, but I didn't expect Kentucky. I mean, the Calipari exit was a surprise, to say the least. I wasn't ready to do coach search radio for two teams and then portal radio for two teams. So it's been a busy few weeks for me, as you can imagine. Well, Myron, appreciate it. I guess tell people where to find you. Are you continuing the draft coverage on ESPN Radio tonight? What you got going on for us, Myron?
Yeah, I'll be with Matt Jones again tonight and on the radio, TV, right? And you can Google me. I'm out there.
You're damn right. All right, Myron, appreciate the time. Have a great day and enjoy the radio gig tonight with the NFL draft. Appreciate it, my good friend.
Thanks again.
All right, there we go. Myron Metcalf, ESPN.com. There you go. A couple things here. Read some text here. Text here, the Lamont Butler commitment is the true definition of moving in silence, like the G in lasagna. No one saw this coming. There had been some rumblings, but yeah, I wasn't expecting that to happen today. That's a good point. Texter, if Pope's not on a plane, it is definitely in the airport picking up recruits. Texter, Pope has won the big stage with BYU players, a lot different from KP and Ewing. He's I don't know if it's a big stage, but yes, he won at a Big 12 level, and he does have experience 100%. Let's see here. The first ER George Clooney was a sitcom. Later one, not so much. Has to be for Innocent Biscuit, Max, I believe so. Texter, Riggs lap band. Oh, you got to go do the button. He's got to push the button. Look at him go. Riggs lap band must have gave him higher oxygen capacity with these long-winded questions. Texter, make sure to tell Myron that you hate his co-host. I don't hate him. I just disagree with a lot of he says. So there we go. Max, good stuff there from Myron Metcalf. I like that guy. He's always good to have on. He's very, very well thought out and has some good stuff. So there we go. Now, we were talking Derby with Myron, and I don't know if I'll be able to see you much because next Monday you're out. The next Friday we don't have shows because of Oaks. Now, what do you do for Derby? Are you a big Derby party guy? Do you sit at home and watch it with the fam? You going out to the track? What's the Max Godby doing for the Derby this year?
Well, usually I go to the beach during Derby.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. So you go to the beach? Okay.
Usually, but this is the first year that we're not. So this is kind of our first year fully integrated back into Louisville, so we were like, you know what, let's maybe we need to, you know, do the whole derby experience. So I think we're going to do go to a derby party. I don't know. My wife's planning all that. So
there you go. You're like, just tell me where to go. It's like,
I'm usually at the beach at this point, so this is new to me. So it's like, just tell me where to go.
So which beach do the Godbys go to?
Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Okay. My wife's been there a few times. I've never been. I'd like to go. I just hear you ride bikes everywhere.
You can. So it's real cool now because so we vacation there every year, and then my aunt and uncle actually sold their place in Dallas and now live out of an RV in Hilton Head.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So they just live in an RV.
And they live in an RV and play pickleball and golf every day.
Wow, good for them. Now that's living the life.
It's true retirement life for them.
Good for them. I like that.
It's like they give off such retired Florida vibes, just in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
I'm jealous. If I don't think we'll ever be able to do it.
Now, when I say RV, it's not like...
It's nice.
It's not millennials because they can't afford a house.
Doing the van life.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a van. This RV is almost bigger than a lot of people's houses.
It's not Cousin Eddie's RV.
No.
It's like...
No.
Yeah. It's cream of the crop RV.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I figure since they're playing pickleball...
Uncle Steve is not going to have anything less than the bougiest RV.
I was going to say, it's like if they're playing pickleball and golf all day, I guarantee they have a nice RV for sure. So good for them. I would like to do something like that, but I'm going to be living off a retired teacher's salary. My wife's going to be living off a retired nurse's salary. So we'll see. We'll see.
I'm actually playing in a pickleball tournament when I go down to Hilton Head.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Have you played before?
Yes.
You know, Drew Diener loves pickleball, and so does Mark Lieberman. So don't let them know, or they might try to get you on their pickleball team.
I'm all 100% for it.
Oh, there you go. So you're willing to? I've never played before. My wife's trying to get me to play.
I'm a very good balance. So when people see me, they think, okay, it's just a Neanderthal with a paddle that he's just going to try to do brute strength. But I've got a lot of finesse in my game, and I'll lull you asleep with the finesse, and then all of a sudden I'll just kill you with just a wind up like no other.
You unleash the power. Unleash the power. I like that. Well, my wife's trying to get me to play. Like
it's fun.
She's like, this summer we should play. And I'm like, honey, I love you. And I'd love to play pickleball, but when do we have time to play pickleball? You know, between the three kids and everything. But, you know, maybe we can find some time.
I play with a group of guys at church and then at work, and they're all young. Like, interns to about 25, 26.
Yeah.
And then me. So it's like the spring chicken. Like, I'm trying to hold my own against a bunch of young guys.
Right.
But it's gotten me to the point. So, like in this pickleball tournament in Hilton Head, I think it's like I'll be one of the youngest. So I'm like,
you're ready to dominate.
I'm at this point. I'm conditioned to try to keep up with guys that were retired athletes like myself, but they're 24, 25, 26, peak athleticism. The world hadn't hit them yet with bad metabolism and bowling.
Yeah, and bad joint pain.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I'm coming into this. It's kind of like when you go through the buzzsaw of the SEC and then you get the bowl season.
Right. You're just kind of done.
Yeah.
Well, then again, these pickleball, like if you're playing Hilton Head, these are like people that probably play pickleball all the time.
Yeah.
So you might go in like cocky and like, oh, I'm young stud, and you walk in there and these old guys know every trick in the book. They'll beat you with their X's and O's.
I get it. I have not seen the ability where there's that many X's and O's in pickleball.
That's true.
People could talk about it. It's like it's a very
it's strategy.
It's a strategic. It's not football. Football strategic. Risk is strategic.
This is you hit a ball with a paddle.
If I hit that ball in the corner and I know you're not fast enough to get to it. That's the game.
That's the game. Exactly. That's the strategy. Absolutely. All right. Let's read some texts, and then we'll get to the 5 o'clock hour. We have a little quiz for Max, just like we did. Text her, three kids. Did you lose one? No, the baby can't play sports yet. That's what I'm saying. Reed is not playing sports. He's still just hanging out and being cute and awesome. Texture. Tan. Is that my farmer's tan that I have? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It is what it is. You know, I'm peeling. Texture, that dress like Kim comment was hilarious. I'm in trash. Again, that traffic cracking up. Texter, Rig, no, you sound like Maddie Bangs. He says that guy. Texter, did James hit the dump button when Myron said Matt Jones? No! I said it first. Texter, Tipton reporting that Kentucky hosting an elite point guard next week. Oh, Joe Tipton is. Tipton edits. Okay, let me go to Tipton edits. This is what we got to do on the fly. We gotta check the recruiting. All right, let's here we go. Tipton edits. Joe Tipton. The Kentucky Wildcats and Mark Pope are hosting an elite transfer point guard next week. It's on 3 Plus. Uh-oh, James. Uh-oh, James. Get the air raid sirens going. Get the air raid sirens going. Oh, that's not the air. No, that's it. This will be the crab. We don't want that. Okay, there we go. All right, so I don't have on 3 Plus, so if anyone wants to snap a picture of that and show me who it is, I'm all for piracy. All right, let's take a break on the other end. I'll do this paranormal quiz with Max the way I did Jeff Lightsey, and then we'll go from there. Also, we'll talk about the NFL draft. We haven't talked about that yet. Interested to see some of Max's comments there. Then the mixtape at 5:30. Before we take our break, 502-HIMP, 812-HIMP, 502-HIP over in the Douglas Hills location, 812-HIMP over in Southern Indiana, Clarksville, Lewis and Clark Parkway. Check them out. They're the official hemp and CBD provider of the Kentucky Derby 150. They have Pegasus pins that you can purchase in their stores as well. Go check out their Delta 8, Delta 9 products. But if you're not into that, that's cool. They have the full spectrum CBD that helps you focus, relax. They have bath bombs in there. They have local honey, all kinds of stuff. Go ask for our guy, Wilson, if you're going to 812-HIMP. He'll hook you up with the carnivore diet. Anything else you want to ask him, tell him the Roundtable sent you, okay? But yeah, go check him out. It's 100% legal. 100% organic. You don't need a medical card or anything of that nature. Go to 502hemp.com or 812hemp.com.